Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Is there anyone here today who hasn't heard of Walt Disney? Okay. How many of you have seen at least one Disney movie or program? Most of you seen at least one? There you go. Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is Temptation, Understanding Life's Choices. And thank you for coming, because when you've been looking out the window this week, it has not been nice, you know. So you braved the weather, but it was sunnier today. Thank you for coming. Today you will learn about two lies that our culture present to us, and I believe we must face. You will learn that life is difficult, and Lent is a time to reflect upon and face the lies and the difficulties of our lives. Can I share with you a little bit of my story this morning? Thank you. Some of you may already know, but the last 3 days of our holidays, we went to Walt Disney World. It's one of Margot's favorite places, so whenever we're in Florida, it's really hard to drive by and not stop and say hello to Mickey. Now, what I liked about this experience, I don't know if any of you are Star Wars fans, but in Hollywood Studios, they have two new Star Wars rides, so guess who had to go on those, even though the lines were ridiculous. Now, one of my favorite Disney classic movies is Lady and the Tramp, if you know that one. So much so that our dog Jock is named after the Scottish Terrier in that movie, you know, who is a neighbor to Lady. Now, one of the things I don't like about the Disney movies, at least many of the classics, is they often leave you with the impression and they lived happily. Thank you. We'll get into that later. But I struggle with it because it leaves you the impression if your life doesn't match, you know, that image, you know, there's something wrong with you. So I have a difficulty with that. So your question today is, what is your favorite Disney movie and why? So try and find someone maybe you usually don't talk to. Introduce yourself or think about it quietly on your own. What is your favorite Disney movie and why? Go. Please stop. I heard some chatting, so you obviously know a few Disney movies. Anybody want to just shout out? What's your favorite Disney movie? Jungle Book, thank you. Any others? The Incredible Journey, thank you. Any others? Swiss Family Robinson, thank you. 101 Dalmatians, thank you. Beauty and the Beast, thank you. There's a few to choose from. So, before you hang me for my following statement, please hear me out. Yes, Walt Disney World is a lie. I say that because the underlying myth, and they lived, is not true. Thank you. In most stories, the hero or heroine have to go through a series of tests or obstacles before they reach their final goal. There's usually a villain. Once the obstacles are overcome, da-da, magic. And they live happily ever after. Thank you. Most people know that once the wedding day is over, problems don't magically disappear, but rather, more often than not, they begin to appear. Because before you get married, you're blinded by what? Love, absolutely. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't she wonderful? The most beautiful person on the planet, absolutely. But after marriage, you start living with one another and you go, oh. I didn't know they left the dirty dishes in the sink or, you know, on the coffee table or wherever else they may leave them. I didn't know they left their socks and underwear on the floor or they don't rinse out the soap scum out of the, you know, the bathroom sink, you know, and the list goes on. Thank you. Things you have to work through. Little faults begin to appear. Did anybody notice that, or was that just in my life? Okay, thank you. One of my favorite books is The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck. And the opening line of that book is three words. Life is difficult. Life is what? Thank you. Scott Peck says it's a great truth, and once we accept that truth, it no longer becomes difficult. Because if you don't understand life is a series of problems, you get stuck in the loop of moaning and groaning about them. Why does this always happen to me? Or if only. Have any of you ever said if only? A few times? Rather than focusing your time and energy on the problem or looking at yourself and saying, why do I keep falling into these things? Lent is about facing the lie, and they lived happily ever after. Strangely enough, it is the whole process of meeting and solving problems that gives life its meaning, its purpose, its joy, as well as its sorrows. Now, I believe there's another great myth society presents to us. The myth, well, I'm going to ask you, what is the myth of the consumer-oriented culture that we get bombarded with day after day after day? Absolutely, thank you. The more you buy, the happier you'll be. If you buy this product, life's gonna be great. If you surround yourself with enough stuff, you'll live happily ever after. Thank you. Is it true? Absolutely, you're right, it's not. It may be for a while. I think I could handle driving an F-type Jaguar, you know, to church in the summertime. I think that would make me happy. Until what? Until you have to pay the bill. You've spoiled my dream. Stop it. Stop it. You're right. It will not give the lasting peace, sense of community, meaning, and joy that I long for. John's gospel is the best at addressing the question that as followers of Jesus, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And Jesus also refutes that consumer myth when he turns down all the kingdoms of the world in all their glitter, because he knows that will not fill the deep longings of your heart. A French poet stated, "The greatest trick the devil ever played was to make the world believe he doesn't exist." It's only human to feel the need to see evil anthropomorphized, to name it, to visualize it, to separate us from it in order to try and understand it and engage it. It's true in the sacred text. The snake tempts Eve. But did you notice that when the snake first asks Eve, says, "God told me not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." That is true. Or even what? "Touch it. Thank you." That seed was already there. Okay, that's not what God said. God said you could touch it. He never mentioned anything about that. Don't eat it. Aaron and the golden calf. Jesus in the desert. Evil often takes root in little things. In C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, the author writes of a junior tempter in training, Woodworm, and his mentor, Uncle Screwtape. The young apprentice keeps his patient navel-gazing and self-involved, clueless about who he is. Now, the captivating part of the story is Screwtape and Woodworm are not trying to create an army of ruthless killers, people we might easily describe as truly evil. They're trying to create a generation of people defined by selfishness, insecurity, pettiness, pride, fear, and the need to control the things of the world. Have you ever looked at someone and said, "Wow, I'd love to have that. It must be nice to be able to afford that," hence the F-type Jaguar that I mentioned earlier. Temptation comes when we look at others and feel insecure about ourselves. "Wow, I wish I was that pretty. You know, I wish I could throw a pass that far. I wish I was that athletic." We feel insecure about ourselves. Temptation comes when we make judgments about strangers or friends who make choices we don't understand. Fear of the other that Dan White addresses very well in the Lenten study book, Love Over Hate. Please look at the description in the bulletin. Is very insightful. Temptation rules when we look away from those in need in our lives, unaffected by the hunger, poverty, and disease around us. Temptation rules when we let our temper run out of control or define us. When we engage and justify little lies or sins, racist jokes or sexist jokes, unquestionable business practices, criticism of others, spouse and a friend, when they are not around, rather than talking directly to them. Temptation wins when we get so caught up in life. You ever felt on the treadmill? Back and forth always, that you lose sight of what life itself is about. And follow that. These are the faceless moments of evil, while mundane lurk in the recesses of our lives and our souls. Lent is about facing the lies of our lives. The what? the lies of our lives or our culture. It's not about guilt, folks. Lent is a time to face the dark, insecure, and scared places in our lives. Because if we don't, we act out of those places and often cause harm to others. It is a time to name them, come face to face with them, get help to understand them, and seek forgiveness for them. And you know why you and I can do this? Because we proclaim here every day a love of God that knows no bounds. There is nothing you can do that will separate you from the love of God that we celebrate at this table. Did Adam and Eve die the moment they ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did they die? No, they did not. Thank you. God does not carry out the threatened death sentence, but responds to human brokenness with unexpected mercy, grace, and love. Does that mean my life is magically going to work out and they lived happily? No. Does it mean I get off scot-free? That I don't have to face the consequences of my actions or ask the hard questions of why? The gift of Lent is that with the conviction of God's love that'll never let us go, we can experience the freedom from the control that fear and insecurities have over our lives, and begin to live and experience the abundant life and new beginnings that God desires for each and every one of us in our world. Come taste the bread. Come drink the wine. Celebrate in a love that will not let you go and will give you the courage to face the darkness of your life and take away its power. Amen.